Well, first of all, I just want, in case I'm not able to join you later, I want to give you and the people who are not here a tremendous mazel tov on a really, really great accomplishment. It's all brachas, or different people do different siyums. All brachas, all brachas Hashem. It's a tremendous thing, and should continue to be many, many more siyumim, probably Yerushalmi, and it's really something that is a true, true accomplishment that a person should have, be very, very proud of. I wanted just a little bit about a hakdama to Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is, of course, called Mishneh Torah. And Mishneh Torah, in fact, Mishneh Torah is the actual Hebrew for Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is Greek, and it means the second law. And that's what Mishneh Torah is, the second law. And why is it called the second law? Because it comprises Moshe Rabbeinu's farewell speeches 1 month before his death. Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the 7th of Adar, and the whole book of Devarim are discourses that he started giving Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So it's 1 month and 7 days before his Patira. So the whole book of Devarim recounts history and the like. So it's called Mishneh Torah, number one, because a lot of it repeats the history that occurred in the preceding books, and a lot of commandments are repeated. But it's important to know that there's a lot of new commandments in Devarim. There are mitzvahs that only appear in the book of Devarim that are not at all mentioned anywhere else in the Torah. The mitzvah of Yibum as a mitzvah is only mentioned in the book of Devarim. The mitzvah of Get, which is also a mitzvah, is only mentioned in the book of Devarim and the like. Kalayim, prohibitions of mixing species. Now, wool and linen is mentioned in Vayikra as well, but mixing, interbreeding animals is only mentioned in the book of Devarim. So you really get into a big question, and that is the following. In the book of Devarim, the Ramban points out, the narrative voice is first person. So for example, what do I mean by that? In the whole Torah, it always says, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying. In the book of Devarim, when Moshe is talking, he says, Hashem spoke to me. Moshe is the narrator. In the rest of the Torah, it's Hashem that is the narrator, looking down. And the Gemara, in fact, says a lashon that the book of Devarim are Moshe's own words, and the rest of the Torah are God's words. So l'chaira, that raises a lot of questions. How can I say the book of Devarim are Moshe Rabbeinu's own words? Don't we always say that if a person says even one word of the Torah was made up by Moshe and didn't come from Hashem, even if that's a word that doesn't change a meaning, or it's the name of Esav's great-grandson or something, one is an apikoros, one is a kofer. One has to believe that every single word of the Torah was directly communicated by Hashem to Moshe. There is a machlokes about the last 8 verses, which talk about Moshe's death. There is one view that says Yoshua wrote it, but even that, he wrote it from what Hashem said. Hashem gave the words. And yet, the Torah says that all, I'm sorry, the Chazal say, that the book of Devarim are Moshe Rabbeinu's own words. How do you reconcile that with the notion that everything comes from Hashem? So the Abarbanel, the great commentary of the Abarbanel, again, was a very, very interesting person. Abarbanel is one of the great Mefarshim. He was also the finance minister for Ferdinand and Isabella, the king and queen of Spain, at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. And when the Jews were ordered to either convert or leave Spain or be burned at the stake, because he was so needed by Ferdinand and Isabella for their various financial needs, he was given permission to stay and remain a religious Jew. The only Jew that was given such permission, he refused. He went into exile with hundreds of thousands of other Jews. That happened, of course, on the 9th of Av. It's brought down in Svarim that the day that the Jews were expelled from Spain, as they were leaving Spain, the Rabbanim permitted them to play musical instruments to pick up their spirits so they shouldn't be so heartbroken, because they needed some courage to be able to start their lives again. And I like to say that the Abarbanel was at the front of the line. He was the Zakein and the leader of the community of Jews. And towards the end of the line, there was a 4-year-old child in his mother's hands. And that 4-year-old child grew up to be Rav Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, but he was one of the people who were exiled from Spain. So the Rabbanel wrote some very, very great Mefarshim on Chumash and on Nach. And the Rabbanel has a very interesting Mahalif. The way the Rabbanel does it is, he takes a Parsha or a paragraph or a Perek, and he'll ask a whole bunch of questions, 20, 30, 40, 50 questions. And then he'll give a pshat that kind of answers all of the questions. So the joke they used to say is that there was a person who loved the Abarbanel's commentary, but he became an apikairis. Why did he become an apikairis? Because he used to read the Abarbanel after the cholent on Shabbos. So what happens is, so he reads 50 kashas on the parsha, then he falls asleep. He says, the Torah has so many contradictions, it can't be true, because he had all the kashas. So it's dangerous to have too many kashas before you give a teretz. But the Rabbanel gives a very, very simple pshat, and this is really, I think once you hear it, you know, it has to be this way. The Rabbanel says like this: what do we mean when we say every word of the Torah? This is a generally important idea, that every word of the Torah comes from God. I mean, the Torah has words of Lavan, words of Paro, words of Esav, even words of Avram. Avram says things. I mean, did Hashem tell Avram ahead of time what to say? So it must mean like this. When we say every word of the Torah is a word of God, we don't mean that God told the characters what to say before they said it. They said what they said based on their Bechira. But they said many things. Avram said many things. Lavan said many things. Esav said many things. What determines which words of Avraham go into the Torah and which don't? That is Hashem. Hashem dictated every single word. But it's only after the fact that it's B'pi Hashem. After, again, I understand the Torah predated the creation of the world, but even that is only because Hashem knew the future. Hashem didn't tell Avraham what to say. Hashem didn't tell Lavan what to say. Hashem didn't tell Paro. He may have hardened Paro's heart, but he didn't tell Paro the words to say. But Hashem knew, so Hashem said that's going to be in the Torah. So when we say the Torah is al-pi Hashem, we mean that the decision of which words go into the Torah is al-pi Hashem. But the actual words, when they were uttered, were not from Hashem, they were from the people uttering them. But you see the chiluk. So, the Abarbanel says, we now understand the difference between the book, the first four books of the Chumash, and the book of Bamidbar. When Hashem gave Moshe mitzvos in the rest of the Torah, V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, Hashem gave Moshe the words to say to Bnei Israel. And Moshe was using the words that God gave him. In other words, they weren't his words. They were the words God gave him. When it comes to Devarim, the other way. It's like Havdalah, like Paro. Moshe speaks in his own language. Moshe is not told by Hashem what to say. But Moshe could have said many, many things. So of the many things that Moshe said, Hashem then said what should be written down in the Torah. So it's not a contradiction. Every word written in the Torah was written only because it was dictated by Hashem. But it was Moshe's own words, because unlike the rest of the Torah, where Hashem first told him what to say and then he said it, here he said it and then Hashem said, write this down. This is what you should write down. Okay, this is the chiluk between the book of Devarim and the rest of the Torah. So the book of Devarim are the actual words of Moshe. Now, in truth, in the rest of the Torah, you also have that, like Paro's words, even Moshe's words. But when Moshe communicates mitzvos, he is normally communicating them in the language of Hashem. In the book of Devarim, he is communicating them in his own words, which Hashem then said to be inscribed in the Torah, al-pi Hashem. Now, the only question that remains is, so how do you understand the fact that in the book of Devarim there are new mitzvos that were not given previously? Isn't there a problem there that if it's Moshe's own words, it's one thing if Hashem gives him the power to paraphrase a commandment he was given, but certainly Moshe did not have the power to make up a commandment. So again, the understanding is, Hashem gave Moshe all the 613 commandments at Har Sinai. But he told Moshe at different times when to reveal them. So the Ramban says, we have to assume that any mitzvah that Moshe's mechadesh in the book of Devarim is not really a chiddush. He was already given it b'Sinai. And Hashem told him to reveal the mitzvah right now. Now, the Abarbanel is a very, very good pshat. It's a very, very clear pshat. But I admit there are a lot of questions that you still have to be ma'ayan in, and that is, how come most of the mitzvos Moshe gives in God's words, and some mitzvos Hashem gives him permission to give in his words? Why is that so? Why, for example, is Yibam a mitzvah that Moshe is given the ability to formulate in his own Lashon? Mashen Kein Shabbos, he's not given that ability. That's going to be hard to understand. And I'm not sure we have a teretz for that. But L'chol HaPachas, the Abarbanel says, there is no contradiction between every word of Torah from Hashem and the Book of Devarim, or Moshe Rabbeinu's own words. Now, the Vilna Gaon adds another perspective, which is not a contradiction to the Rebbe, it's just an additional point. And he says that since in the rest of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking the words of Hashem, it actually was not Moshe Rabbeinu's own voice. It was the Shekhinah coming out of Moshe's mouth. In other words, Moshe would open his mouth and it would be the voice of Hashem that they would hear. Masha'in Cain in the Book of Devarim, it was Moshe's own voice, literally, that B'nai Yisrael heard. So in the Book of Devarim, Moshe is like a meturgeman, right? In other words, he hears it from Hashem, and then he puts it in his own words and his own voice. In the rest of the Torah, Moshe is like a conduit, where simply the voice of Hashem goes through Moshe, and it communicates. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask. So when we say that Hashem is just choosing which words to quote, so to speak, in the Torah.
In the rest of the Torah,
Do you say that those are the mamish words that they said, or could it be a paraphrase?
That's a good question. It's entirely possible that it's a paraphrase, because Hashem may have determined what is the best way, according to His divine wisdom, that a certain message should be communicated. So there's no particular reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to utilize exact quotations. If on the other hand, Sefer Devarim, on the other hand, is an exact quotation of Moshe's. Well, no, maybe not. Maybe that's not even true. Well, no, probably it is. In other words, if the words of Devarim are Moshe's words, then the assumption has to be it's an exact quotation. Now, this idea, though, that every word that's written in the Torah is what Hashem told Moshe to write, whether it's an exact quotation or not, but Hashem said to write this word, this is the difference between Torah and Nevi'im. Nevi'im is also from Hashem. It's holy writing, right? But the difference would be, Nevi'im had nevuas, and Hashem told them to write them down, but Hashem did not tell them, according to some, the exact words. Every Navi describes the nevuah in their own words, and essentially they are describing a picture. That is why Chazal say you can have two Nevi'im who see the same thing, and they describe it in different ways, because every Navi is verbally describing the divine picture that they received via the idea of prophecy. Now, the exception is that even in Nevuah, there is a certain amount of exact quotes, because a Navi sees things, but sometimes says, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. So that's like in their Nevuah, they hear a specific quote, and that they put down. But Nevuah itself is not word for word. That's the difference between the Torah and the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im wrote their books al pi Hashem, but Hashem did not dictate a word for word description. Yeah.
Does that include Yeshua? Because that's more almost, at least in its writing style, it's almost like a continuation of the Chumash.
Yeah, that's a good question. The Gemara, in fact, says if the Jewish people wouldn't have sinned, they only would have gotten the five Chumashim and the Book of Yoshua. They wouldn't have needed all the other prophets, which is Musar and the like. But Yoshua we needed, because that gave us the division of Eretz Yisrael. But it seems to be that although it's true that Yoshua is a very direct continuation of the Chumash, but it's still not al pi Hashem in that way. Although Yeshua has the one idea of perhaps writing the last eight verses. Yeah.
Does that include with like when it says, you know, Hashem said to Yeshua, this?
Yeah, well, again, it could be that's an exact quote, or it could be that Yoshua is writing writing his recollection of what Hashem said to him, but it doesn't have to be exact words. Now, you know, if you learn the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Gemara in Bava Basra actually discusses the issue of who wrote the last eight verses of the Torah, that Yehoshua, you know, it says Moshe died, etc. According to one opinion, Moshe died and Yoshua literally wrote those words for Yamas Moshe. Al Pi Hashem, again, Al Pi Hashem. Hashem said word for word. No one is chaylik on that. But according to the other opinion, there's a lashon, Moshe Rabbeinu kasav bedema. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote about his own death before he died, and he wrote it bedema. He wrote it bedema. So what is the meaning bedema? So the simple meaning is dema's tears, meaning he cried. In other words, the Gemara is giving you apparently a bit of a superfluous bit of information. Yeah, he wrote about his death, but Nebuchadnezzar, he was crying because he was going to die. But they say b'shem the Vilna Gaon, a very, very nice pshat. He says like this. He says that the Torah was made, Hashem made the Torah 2,000 years before the world was created. Right? It was Tafio B'Yoraisa Bari Alma. He looked at the Torah, that was the blueprint for the world. Now, Lechara, the question is, how could that be? There are so many events in the Torah that didn't happen yet. I mean, there was nothing that happened yet. The Marisha and the Chayt, etc. And for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a Torah that has all those events, B'diyuk, in the Torah, would almost be as if Bechira is being taken away, because it's already in the Torah. There'll be a Chayt Eitz Hadas, and there'll be all of these Averas. So what we say is, the Gra says, and this is the basis of the Bible codes that Eishes Torah, other people use, not that the Gra endorses that, but this is the Yisod, that the primeval version of the Torah was an unbroken sequence of letters. It did not say, Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. It was from the Beis of Bereishis to the Lamed of Le'enei Kol Yisrael. And the Ramban writes in the Ramban Sakdomet to Chumash that the whole Torah is one divine name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The over 300,000 letters of the Torah is the unbroken shame of Hashem. That's why the Ramban writes that a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter is pasul, even if it doesn't change the meaning, because it no longer expresses the totality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. Yisrael, the Arais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chadu, is actually a reference that the Torah is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the letters. So it's only when these events happened that the Torah was nischalak into Isias. So in Mela, our problem is the following. How could Moshe Rabbeinu write about his death? Mimanafshach. This man, the Amar says, if he didn't write those psukim, then the Torah did not come through Moshe Rabbeinu, and that can't be because it's Torah's Moshe. But if he did write, it would be a sheker, it would be a lie. And we know the Torah has to be emes at all moments. So, when it says dema, the word dema is sometimes referring to a jumble or a mixture. So, for example, when truma falls into chulin, the language of the Mishnah is that is called a dimua. Dema could be a mixture. So when it says Moshe wrote it bedema, it means he inscribed all of the letters of the last eight verses, but he didn't write them as words. He didn't write Vayomas Moshe. He wrote Vav Yud Mem Saf Mem Shin Hey, unbroken sequences of words, and it was not nischalek until after his death. So that's why you have both ideas being mekoyim. Every single letter in the Torah was inscribed by Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbeinu never wrote anything that was a sheker. He wrote it based on its original pre-Briyas HaOlam Torah.
But with that, I could write down the monkey eats a banana in a tree without any spaces.
Yep.
I could still read it as the monkey eats a banana in a tree.
Well, you could, but theoretically words could be divided up in different ways. We don't always understand. In fact, it may not even... Words could be divided in ways that don't even make sense based on our understanding of language. But they could represent all sorts of divine secrets of how Hashem created the world. You sometimes, if you ever look at a Kabbalistic Siddur, you will see different letter combinations, sometimes of Shem Hashem, but sometimes not even of Shem Hashem, in which they seem to be, nonsense words. But in fact, these are words that have spiritual kochos. Yeah.
If he's the first shot that dema is tears.
Yep.
We explained that Moshe Rabbeinu cried his tears because he said it's hard to me to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu cried because he will die and lives his olam hazeh.
Yeah. Why would he cry? So the emes is, you're right, but he would cry the same way the Vilna Gaon, who some of them say was a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's, number one, he's leaving this world where a person could gain so much with Torah and mitzvahs. that although Moshe Rabbeinu's Olam Haba is infinite, but the ability to gain and accomplish belongs to Olam Hazeh. We also know how much sorrow he had not going to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to be a bug or a bird, you know. He has that sorrow. Now, the Marsha says a little different. The Marsha actually answers your kasha. He doesn't ask your kasha, but he answers. The Marsha has a different kasha. The Marsha says that Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't mean he wrote it and he was crying, but rather he wrote it in tears. What's the pshat? The Gemara in Shabbos says that if you write something with tears, it's not a permanent, right? It's not a permanent ksav, so it's not a real ksav. So, in a sense, since when he wrote it, it would be a sheker, it wouldn't be true, so sheker cannot have permanence. So he wrote it, so every word comes from Meishal, Pi Hashem, but he had to write it in an eifen that's not miskayim, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, a shikra loikoi. It's a famous Maimer Chazal. MS stands, sheker doesn't stand, right? You know how we do that? We look at the letters. You look at a shin. A shin in Ksav Ashuris, in the Sefer Torah writing, the base comes to a point. Kuf only has one point that it stands on. Resh only stands on one point. So it doesn't have good balance. You could knock it over. MS, the Aleph, has two points that it's standing on, and the Mem has a wide base, and the Suf has two points. So the Gemara says, Shikra Leikoi, Sheker does not stand. MS stands. So Moshe had to write what was temporarily a sheker. He had to write it bedima. He had to write it with a ksav sheino miskayim. Yeah. So machlokas. That's what I'm telling you. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. According to one man d'amar, Yehoshua did it all. The other man d'amar says Moshe did it, but he wrote it bedema. So I was just giving you pshatim and dema. There is another man d'amar that says Yehoshua wrote it. Derech Agav, because I think as we talk about Devarim, it's kedai to get this in general perspective. We talked about this before, but I just want to remind people that even though we say that Moshe Rabbeinu got the whole Torah at Har Sinai, it's a Dover Pashut that the Sefer Torah was not written down at Har Sinai. He came down with mitzvos, and a lot of those mitzvos he didn't even tell us. We got the mitzvos later. But even if he told us all the mitzvahs and then reviewed, still, the narratives, they certainly didn't know. They certainly didn't know at Matan Torah that there would be a Chet HaMeraglim or there would be Korach. That wouldn't make sense. That would imply that Korach was an actor in a play reading that, you know, in a year he's going to stand here and the ground's going to open up. So the emes is, the mitzvahs were given to Moshe. When it says Torah Misinai, the mitzvahs were given at Sinai. But the actual Sefer Torah with all of the Maisim, with all of the stories, all of the activities, all of the actions, was not given B'Sinai. But there is a Machlaikas in the Gemara, in Maseches Gittin, how the Torah, as the Torah, the Sefer Torah, how was that given? According to one man d'amar, the Torah was given piecemeal, a little bit at a time. After each Maisa, in other words, at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote from Bereishis until Matan Torah, right? In fact, Rashi says that's what it means when it says Moshe took the Sefer HaBris, the Book of the Covenant, and he read it. That's Mibreishis until Matan Torah. And after that, for the next 40 years, although for most of those years nothing happened that's recorded in the Torah, but for the next years, after Korach, he wrote about Korach, after Meraglim, he wrote about Meraglim, etc. In other words, he wrote it piecemeal. Al Pi Hashem, again, it's all Pi Hashem, as each thing happens. According to another man d'amar in the Gemara, Torah chasuma nitna. The Torah was not written down at all until the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when Al Pi Hashem, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah, quite amazing, 13 Sifrei Torah in one day, the day of his life, last day of his life, Zayin Adar, in which one went into the Aron HaKodesh, and the other was given to each Shevet. And Hokasha Taisus of Menachos asks, because we have a Masorah, Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. That's why we say it's at Kaschat Tzedek, because Yosef, David, and Moshe were all Nifter, Shabbos Mincha. How could Moshe write Sifrei Torah if it was Shabbos? So Taisus in Menachos gives a very interesting teretz. He says that since Al Korchach, Moshe Rabbeinu did it through a Nes, How do you write 13 Sifrei Torah in one day? It's not humanly possible. So Taisa says, a malacha that you do through Maisa Nisim is not a human activity. It's a supernatural activity. So that is permitted to do on Shabbos. So if you can write Derech Nes, that would not be Kesiva on Shabbos. Okay, it's not Nogela Maisa for us, but that's, but if you go to, if they ever open up a From Hogwarts school for Harry Potter, so you know, okay, so you can do it. They can have a Sophist division. Yeah, okay. But anyway, so it's important to understand that when we say Moshe Kibel Torah miSinai, Torah in that word, in that sentence, means Moshe heard from Hashem 613 mitzvos. It is not referring to the narratives and the maisim and the history. That was either written down over the 40 years, or maybe it was written down only at the end of the 40 years. In fact, Rav Hirsch makes the point, therefore, interestingly enough, that in a way, Torah Shebal Peh is older than Torah Shebichsev. Because on one hand, we had all of these mitzvos in the Midbar, but they may not have been written down till the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So they existed in the Bechina of Torah Shebal Peh. They were orally transmitted, but they were not Nechtak B'Sefer. Now, if you say that nothing was written down till the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, you're going to have a problem. What was this Sefer HaBris that Moshe read? See, Rashi said it was from Bereishis to Matan Torah. But if you hold Torah Chasuma Nitna, that also was not written down till the 40th year. So the Eben Ezra actually says that Sefer HaBris was a unique thing. It was a listing of brachos and klalos. It was the Teichicha, just to pronounce the blessings and the curses. So in a sense, that part of the Torah was written down, but it wasn't because it was part of the Sefer Torah. It was written down as something the Jewish people needed to hear before they accept the Torah. Yeah.
In this opinion that the oral Torah could be, older than the written Torah per se,
Yep. How
could that be? Because, like we said earlier, that some of the mitzvahs weren't revealed until just now when Moshe spoke them out.
Yeah, some of
them,
yeah.
But in the oral Torah, it discusses them.
You understand. I certainly don't mean, I don't mean to say that all of the oral Torah is older, but I mean to say that there are chalak. In other words, the Torah was transmitted orally before it was written down. Now, the truth of the matter is, I could prove that from a much earlier point. If we say the Avos kept the whole Torah before it was given, that obviously was through an oral Torah. There for sure, right? There was like any opinion, there was no written Sefer Torah that the Avos HaKadoshim had. It was an oral Masorah that they well, it's interesting. Maybe I'm assuming an answer to a question. Avram Avinu was masik the whole Torah mitzad himself. He did not get a Masorah necessarily. In some very amazing way, it's hard for us, we can't even understand this, the same way most of us understand that intuitively it's wrong to kill and it's wrong to steal. We just understand that. Avram Avinu knew intuitively you have to wear tefillin and you can't wear shatnez. We don't even understand that, but his understanding of the spiritual DNA of the universe made that self-evident. But Yitzchak and Yaakov got it as an oral Messiah from Avram. So Avram kind of did it on his own, but Yitzchak and Yaakov were makabel to a Torah Shebal Peh. And certainly, to whatever degree the Shvatim kept the Torah, that's a bit of a shaila, that was an oral Messiah that was handed down.
If we're saying that the oral Torah was it was received from Moshe at the Sinai, right?
Yep.
And the Torah wasn't written just after.
Right.
So like all the Gezerah Shavah and the Kesh and all the things that you say, from here I learned this and from here I learned this, how was this given without
No. So the answer would be that if it was given orally, Hashem gave the laws. And then gave them a written Torah in which those laws are encoded or can be discovered by different Ramaz. In other words, as if Hashem had the laws first and then wrote the written Torah in such a way that all of those laws could be found. You see, that's how it works. Okay, anyways, be well. And again, much mazel and bracha on the siyumim. And maybe I'll be able to join you a little later. I have to give another share first. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yep.